Leviticus 16, these are God's words. Now Yahweh spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before Yahweh and died. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before Yahweh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Yahweh and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which Yahweh's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering which is for himself and make atonement for himself and for his house and shall kill the bull as the sin offering which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before Yahweh, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil, and he shall put the incense on the fire before Yahweh, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat, on the east side, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before Yahweh and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all round. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it, and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat. And he shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the children of Israel, for all their sins, once a year. And he did, as Yahweh commanded Moses. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Chapter 16 begins by reminding us that this is actually the same day as chapter 10. The bodies of Nadab and Abihu are still warm, as it were. Now Yahweh spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before Yahweh and died. Now you remember back in chapter 10 that one of the reasons for the concern that the remaining priests, Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar and Ox, to defile themselves, was that they needed to live in order to teach the people of Israel and to distinguish for them between the holy and the common and between the clean and the unclean. And the Lord has given us that in the intervening five chapters or so, the distinguishing between the clean and unclean. And after the instruction about the Day of Atonement, he is going to give us the distinguishing between the holy and the common. But one of the things that the Spirit has done for us in his divine mercy and wisdom by putting those five chapters first is he has emphasized to us how great is the uncleanness of man. Now this would have been quite strongly emphasized to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar and to the rest of the nation of Israel, who had seen what the sin of man had provoked and had brought upon themselves. Surely they would have cared very much to know that there was an answer for the uncleanness and the sinfulness of man. And praise God, it was on that very same day that he gave the instruction for the Day of Atonement. So that in their horror at what their uncleanness is, and what our sin does to us before God, in their, to borrow from the morning sermon's text, in their bankruptcy of spirit, the Lord displayed the riches of his grace, an atonement that would cleanse the holy things from the uncleannesses of the people. And so just as God in his providence had pressed home to them the urgency, the greatness of their uncleanness in the sequence of events as it occurred for them, so also has he brought home to us the urgency, the greatness of our own uncleanness by giving us the five intervening chapters. Here then we see that they have an immediate need for cleansing, but not just an immediate need for cleansing. Because truly that which Nadab and Abihu had done existed in the hearts of every Israelite there. And often we have confessed, even this morning, we confessed that we are often guilty of drawing near with our lips, but our hearts being far from God, because we come to worship according to our desires instead of according to His directions. It is, of course, a problem of the heart, even when outwardly we are keeping what we call the regulative principle, which is really just the second commandment. And so there is not just this immediate need on this particular day on which Nadab and Abihu had died. There is a perpetual, ongoing need for Israel, which is why at the conclusion of this atoning and cleansing of the holy place and of the tabernacle and of the altar, he gives instruction that this is actually to be repeated now annually, year after year. If God is going to dwell among his people, and if they are going to have him dwell among them in safety and in blessing, there may be no sin permitted, for God is holy. There may be no death permitted, for God is life. There may be no darkness permitted, for God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And yet men have sin and death and darkness in them. And so there is this perpetual need for cleansing. Perpetual, of course, until the Lord finally and fully, actually, satisfies for that need in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will come to a passage I'm sure many of you already have in your mind. How just the fact that this had to be repeated year after year pointed to the reality that the blood of the bulls and the blood of goats was not taking away the sins of Israel. That God was counting them clean for the sake of him who would come, to whose sacrifice the bulls and the goats and the rams all pointed. And so there's a provision here. There's a provision first of the priest and of reconciliation for him. Half the sacrifices here, or more than half, since we trust that a bull is bigger than a goat, are actually for Aaron and for his family. But before he can put on the garments of the high priest, he must first put on the regular linen garment of the one who's provided to make personal atonement for someone who came with a sin offering or with a trespass offering. And so he first conducts that for himself. And he has the sin offerings for himself and his family, a bull. You remember that was required of the priestly family. And then for Israel, a goat. And there are going to be two goats here. But just one of them is the sin offering. And once the sin offerings have been done and atonement has been made and cleansing has been applied, then can come the ascension. Then can come what is translated in our Bibles, or many of our Bibles, as the burnt offering or the whole burnt offering. And so the Lord provides first the priest, and for the priest, he provides atonement and reconciliation for his own sin. This is a great difference between him and the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Just as Hebrews says, Jesus didn't have to bring sacrifice for himself. He was not sinful like Aaron was sinful. And he is not prevented by death from continuing in his ministry. In fact, he did die in order to offer himself a sacrifice, but death could not hold him. His priesthood is forever. There did not have to be instruction for descendants of Jesus to step into his place when he was unable to continue. For he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, for he intercedes for us by the power of his indestructible life. But this in Leviticus 16 for Aaron and for Israel is a merciful provision. That for a people who deserved such wrath, God provided a priest who, since he himself deserved such wrath, God provided reconciliation for him first and cleansing for him first. Now that we might be able to see, as we have made the point from the beginning of the ascension offering, but even with respect to the sin offering, that the blood having been applied, we may rise to God as pleasing, which is why it's in the sin offering and the trespass offering, which is part of the sin offering, or a subcategory. It is the fat that is burned as a pleasing aroma, and that this is what the burning is doing. You remember there are multiple Hebrew words for burning, and the one that is used here is the one for turned to smoke or smokified, or since we're making up words, smokificated. You can get the idea that the one who came in dirty and guilty by the application of the blood is actually made pleasing to God. He's not just kind of given his ticket of permission to approach. The Lord takes pleasure in the one who has been cleansed by and united to his Son, our Lord Jesus. And one of the things that helps us see, not just from the word that is used for the burning, and not just from the pleasant aroma, but we can especially see now because of the two goats. One of the goats is identified with the people, and it is slaughtered, and it is smokified, and ascends to heaven, and God is pleased. But what is done with the other goat? The high priest is required to put his hand, and the text specifies even the two hands, and it is a pressing, leaning. There is force and heaviness, and as he presses onto this goat, to which the lot fell, not for the Lord, but for Azazel. Now, Azazel may be a word that means the devil. It means that in a cognate language. It may mean something with the idea of great or complete destruction. There are many guesses. We aren't 100% sure what Azazel is. It's a proper name, a proper noun. And so it may be just as well to call it the scapegoat, because whatever the origin of the name is, we can tell from what is done here what the point of the procedure is. That as the high priest presses down on the scapegoat, and he confesses all of the sins of Israel, it is as if he is transferring all of the sin. And what does God do? God then commands for them to send that goat out into the wilderness, and the person who takes it out can only do so far, but the Lord tells them they're never going to see the goat again. It will be gone forever. In his providence, then he oversees where the scapegoat goes, but he removes their sin far from them. And this helps us to see, doesn't it? Since on one of the goats, the sin was confessed, and on the other, and the other goat then, the lot fell for the Lord, that in all of these places where the offerings are made, where the smokifying word is used for burning one of the offerings, one of the ways by which we may come near, that the Lord is actually giving the worshiper to come to himself in Christ. Now, Christ is both, isn't he? The sin offering and the scapegoat. For when our sin was being removed from us, as far as the east is from the west, when our sin was being eliminated, our guilt was being eliminated, and God's wrath towards us was being propitiated, literally burning itself out, it wasn't on a scapegoat that was sent into the wilderness, was it? It was on the Son of God hanging on a cross. And yet, in the same moment that the wrath of God was burning itself out, that he was being propitiated with regards to our guilt upon the Lord Jesus Christ, so also the Lord Jesus was offering himself to God, and God was pleased. with the offering of his Son, and with all who belong to him by faith, who are joined to him by faith. So there's provision not just as a reconciliation, but provision of this separation from sin. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus, when he had completed his life and death and resurrection, he ascended, and we are seated with him in the heavenly places. Now, this was always there in Leviticus 16, by the need of the priest to sacrifice for himself, by the repetition year after year. And yet, the Lord kept it hidden from us, as it were, until Christ came and gave full clarity. And so we'll close just by reading Hebrews 9, verse 6 through 10, verse 4, and giving some brief summary afterward. But listen to this portion of the book of Hebrews, just having been taught and instructed in the Day of Atonement, and how the tabernacle, the holy place and the tabernacle and the altar needed to be cleansed, not so much by people who had touched a carcass or had had an infection or had had a flow, but the transgressions and the sins of Israel, as verse 16 of our passage has emphasized. Now here, Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 6. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins, committed in ignorance, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time, in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also be a necessity of necessity, the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the book of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven, in the heavens, should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. But that which bulls and goats could never have done, Christ has done. The cross has never been repeated, because it never had to be. He had no sin of his own from which to be cleansed. And God has forever consecrated the worship that we offer through Christ and the worshipers who come through him, so that not only are we admitted into his presence, but he takes pleasure in us, in his Son. And so Israel had an annual reminder pointing forward to these things. And here we come weekly through him. Our hearts, our bodies washed with pure water, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, coming through Jesus, washed in his blood, confident before God. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, our gracious God and our heavenly Father, that you have obsoleted the picture that was given to your church in infancy in this annual Day of Atonement. By that great day on which Christ did fully atone for us. And we thank you that you give us now, week by week, to come through him, to be cleansed by him. Forgive us our sins, O Lord, and consecrate the worship, not by what we offer, but by what he has offered once for all, and by his continual intercession, as he always lives to intercede for us. And make us then to come hating sin, but aware that you have cleansed us completely by the Lord Jesus, and that your wrath has been completely satisfied, and that you have made us righteous and pleasing in him. We are amazed, O God, at the goodness of your gospel. And we pray that your Spirit would continue to convince our minds and our hearts of this reality. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.